This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there was a Sunday school teacher. Y'all remember Sunday school, right? Maybe some of you. And as the Sunday school, she was taking the kids, probably, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. She was taking them to the church service. And she turned around and asked the kids as they approached the sanctuary. She goes, "Now remember, why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" She asked the children, and they sort of like, "Oh." But then one little girl pipes up and she replied, "Because people are sleeping." So if anything, today we hear a call for us to not be sleeping as the church, that we are called to share this joyful news of the resurrection. And my favorite line, I think, in the Gospels we heard today is that when Jesus tells Thomas, he says, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" He's not condoning him for that. He's like, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now, my friends, that's you and I, right? That's you and I and the generations of Christians that have come before us that did not know Jesus, the man, but know Jesus as God incarnate and receive the Holy Spirit so we can continue this journey that Jesus wants. Because what he says at the end, it says, John, who wrote this, he says, there were many other signs to his disciples. And they're not written down, but this one is written so that you may come to believe. So that you may come, you and I, may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Son of God. And then it says, and that through believing this, you may have life in his name. Now notice it doesn't say you may have life after you die. It says you will have life in his name right now. Again, my friends, that's the resurrection and the true glory of Jesus Christ, is living a life in Jesus Christ opens a path to a way of life now. Now, it seems kind of hard because there seem like there are a lot of rules. We can look at some of the ways the early Christian communities tried to live into this idea of life. If we look at the reading from Acts, so the book of Acts is all about the first Christian church. Now, I'm not sure at the time if they used that word Christian, right? We use it now. This is 2,000 years later. But at that time, they certainly would have been followers of the way being Jesus. And so they're taking all these lessons that Jesus had taught the disciples and that the disciples had taught those who were following. And it's sort of this wonderful idea of the way life was. The whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, I find that hard to believe. I've never met a room full of any human beings that were all of one heart and one soul. But I think what we hear of one heart and one soul is that we want to follow the way of Jesus, and on that we can all agree. And then we talk about they shared their possessions. Everything was held in common. The apostles gave their testimony about the resurrection of Jesus. And there was great grace. So they were all of one heart and one soul. We desire to follow the way of Jesus Christ. And in trying to figure out what that looks like, because I'm sure it was chaotic, there was great grace. That there was no needy person among them. All that they had was distributed to each as any had need. Is the church asleep? As a little girl thought, the reason that they had to be quiet when they came in. is the church of a group of followers, and I mean the broad church, not just St. John's, but the church. Have we fallen asleep? Have we forgotten the true meaning of living a life in Jesus? We hear that God is light, and anything that is darkness is not of God. That anytime there is light that shines, we are to see Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the light, the true light. But sometimes it seems like the darkness of the world is overcoming light. Maybe. But we're called to see the light, and when we see it, to show others and point them towards it. In God, there is no darkness at all. We are called to walk in the light. And I know that as followers of Jesus, we can all at least agree and have one heart and one mind and one soul about that, that we are called to walk in the light. Is the church asleep? We encountered the disciples together today, and we hear that they're locked in the room. Now, it's important to know they say they're locked in the room for fear of the Jews. This is not just the Jewish people in general, right? These are the same people. They're in fear of the people who asked for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So these were actually the religious leaders. And so these Jewish men and women, and we can assume it doesn't say that only the disciples were. It says they were in there, but it says they were the only ones. But there's a group of people who had just witnessed this terrible death of their beloved leader, Jesus Christ. And they're locked in the room, and I can imagine they're sitting around. It's probably very quiet. There may be weeping. There may be crying. Probably a lot of confusion. Not sure what to do. Fear. And they're locked in this room for fear. And Jesus shows up, and he says, "Peace be with you." And it's almost like he knows that right away they're not really going to believe what they're seeing. So he shows them his wounds from the crucifixion. Like, nope, it's really me. And he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he gives them sort of a first thing. If you forgive the sins of any, sins, which being a very big word, right? It can mean so many things. And he says, if you forgive others, then they are forgiven. But if you retain them, then they are retained. Now, what is this sort of telling us as we look back at this idea? We receive the Holy Spirit, and when we're baptized, we are baptized in water and we receive the Holy Spirit. So as baptized Christians, as baptized members of the way of Jesus, right? We're called to forgive the sins of any. It is not our duty to retain the sins of any. In other words, Jesus is sort of giving them a little bit of an idea. Don't go around judging other people. And the reason that we can understand why this means is because immediately then they go out and tell Thomas, "Oh my God, Thomas, you will not believe what happened." And Thomas says, "I don't think so. Unless I can see it myself." Now, Thomas gets a bad rap for these questions, doubting Thomas, as you may have heard. But they said, "No, really, we have seen the Lord." And he goes, "Unless I can see the marks myself, I'm not sure I'll believe you." And so then a week later, the disciples are again in the house. And this time Thomas was with them. And all the doors were shut. And poof, all of a sudden Jesus appears. And he comes and he stands there and he says, again, "Peace be with you." And he immediately turns to Thomas. So that even though Jesus wasn't there to hear this conversation, Jesus knew that Thomas was a bit skeptical. And he immediately turns to Thomas and he says, "Look, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it here. Do not doubt, Thomas. Do not doubt, but believe." Now, it doesn't say that Thomas actually did that. right? It doesn't say that Thomas actually touched the wound in his side or beat it to feel it, but he saw and his eyes were opened and he goes, "My Lord and my God, it is you, Jesus." So we go back to this idea of Jesus blowing the Holy Spirit among the disciples, and he says, if you retain the sins of any, then they are retained. But we're not called to retain the sins of any. We're not called to judge. Which is exactly the example that Jesus shows us. Jesus meets Thomas right where he is. Jesus encounters Thomas right where he is on his journey of the way. Jesus doesn't judge him. He says, I understand that you need a little more, you know, encouragement here. You couldn't believe the words of the disciples, but here I am to show you, come to me as you are, with all of your doubts and all of your confusion. Jesus encounters him right there. You see, it wasn't that if you believe, then you see, right? It was like once you see, then you can believe. And Jesus, more than anything, God, more than anything, wants us to believe, which is why those of us who have found and have seen and do see the light in the darkness, we are called to point it out to other people. Now, there may be somebody in your life, and maybe you were this person at one time. Maybe you are there right now, not quite sure about this whole Jesus thing. But Jesus tells us right here today, God tells us right here today, that he will meet you wherever you are. That you don't have to have all the answers before a life with Jesus. That it is through a life with Jesus we discover the truth. Jesus opens himself to receive Thomas where he is so that Thomas can move toward him. Jesus comes to people offering himself in ways that can open their eyes and evoke belief. And that's the beautiful thing why he celebrates. Golly, Thomas, if now you believe because you have seen, imagine what's going to happen when people start believing and they haven't seen me. Well, it's going to change the world. And it's going to change the world through your stories. That, my friend, is the church's mission, as we were to say, the church being, yes, St. John's Episcopal Church, but also the collective body of believers and followers of the way of Jesus across countries, across continents, across the street. And so we have to ask at some point, like the little girl does, when we're coming into the church, is the church asleep? Are we truly excited about this truth? We're called to listen just as Jesus did to the needs of the people. We're called to tell them just as the disciples did. No, really, Jesus came back and we saw him. And even when they doubt, we are still leading them on. We are still inviting them into the fold. We are still inviting them in to experience a true life in Jesus Christ. This freedom that comes with us. And as we take this journey, sometimes it seems really hard. Sometimes it may seem quite easy. And everything, all in between. That's why we do it in community. We're called to respond to the faith of others and meet them where they are. There is no call, there is nowhere in any of the readings of our scriptures today that say you have to get it before you can come. That you have to understand the whole thing before you can actually meet Jesus doesn't say that anywhere. But it does say for those who have met Jesus, even though we are all on our own journeys, those who have met Jesus are called to invite others to meet him too. These things were written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that through believing this truth, you may have life. Life right now. Life today. Amen.